Hi, this is John. Before we begin today's podcast, I would like to invite you to visit my website, johnburney.org, where you can join my mailing list, contact me directly for private one-on-one work, access written, audio, and video teachings, and sign up for retreats, as well as find the schedule for my public gatherings. May you realize true peace and happiness. So you've been hearing for a long time about the oasis and hearing descriptions and thinking, I want to be there. I want to be there. So you pack your bag and you get your map. And you venture out on the journey to find the oasis. And, you know, it takes a long time. And you learn all kinds of things on the way. But, you know, you have your map, you have your guidebooks. And so you know what's happening. You expect to know what's happening. And you hang in there, and then somewhere along the way, you discover you're in the desert. And you're lost. And your map is not helpful. You know, it's not like the third sand dune on the left, make a right or something, you know, the Google directions. And you don't have a compass. You don't know where you are. You don't know how to get there. And you're afraid. You're frustrated. Alone. And you start yelling out. Yelling and screaming and crying out for help. And all the other things that come out. And then you fall down on your knees and you beg for help and you cry and weep. And then, exhausted, you just sit down and you give up. Because you can't figure it out anymore. You don't know where you are. You don't know what's happening. You don't know how to get there. And you let go. You're just there in that place. And you're not in your mind anymore. You're not thinking anymore. You've completely surrendered. And then you start noticing that you're alive, that you're breathing. And that you are energy. And you start to feel nourished
and fulfilled and awake. And you look around and you realize you've arrived. This is it. This is the oasis. Your journey has ended. And you sit back in your lounger and you stretch out, and there's fruit and fresh water and Whole Foods. You're set. And you think, I've made it. And then it all disappears. And you go, what? Was this a mirage? Was this an illusion? What the is happening? And you go through it again, a little less time this time. And you find yourself back in this exhale of letting go. And you're beginning to experience that connection again. And something deep within you truly, truly understands and allows how it works to work. And you trust, even when you're back in the desert and when you don't know where you are and you don't know how to get out of it and you don't know how to find the oasis, because you can just fall down and cry again and release it all and surrender again. And you go, oh, okay. No problem. And eventually it's just here, this nourishment of the oasis. You know, it's funny because I was just on leading a retreat in paradise. And the island of Molokai, which is a sacred, powerful place. And this is the fifth year there, and I think it's really growing on me in a way that sneaking up on me in a way that's really interesting. But, you know, there's no development there at all. And it's very peaceful. Very few cars on the road. Two-lane road, basically, up and down the island. Side roads. See a car occasionally. And I flew back and arrived in San Francisco, I think, 9:30 at night or something. Got in my ride home and was profoundly disturbed. Eight lanes of gridlock traffic at 10 o'clock at night, and I thought, and immediately I said, this is really disturbing. This is insane madness. And I released it all and rather soon was back in the oasis. It's right where you are. Nice when we can benefit from incredibly beautiful people here. Incredibly beautiful surroundings in nature, wherever that is for you. Because it reminds us of our oasis, of our true nature. Because that's what an oasis really is. It's your true nature. It's nourishing and it's healing and it's transforming. And it's beautiful when you allow it to be what you are. And that's really what we learn on this path, is how to allow it to be what we are, rather than to try to be what we think it is. That's like laying a map over the territory and not seeing the territory. Trust the desert. It's how you find it. I don't mean lay a trip on yourself about the desert and tell yourself, well, I should accept the sand in my underpants. The sunburn on my lips. That's not what I'm talking about. Trust is how you, is the realm of not being in the way. So the way reveals itself to you one step at a time. One leap at a time, whatever it is. One catapult at a time. One jumping out of an airplane at a time. One micromillimeter at a time. Comparing your experience, your unfoldment to anything you know is already off track. So, the oasis is where you are nourished, but it's also where you are broken down, and where you are healed, and where you are liberated. Over and over and over, however much it happens, you're always finding it. You're always re-arriving here. Instead of getting here and telling yourself, okay, now I'm here, because that will vanish it. That will pull the rug out. Trust your breath to breathe itself. Trust your body to let go of its tension. Trust your heart to wail in grief when it's sad and hurt and overwhelmed and misunderstood. Yell out when you feel you're being screwed. Dominated. Whatever. Be your true human self. Don't pretend to be spiritual. That'll blow up on you. When you're truly, truly a person of spirit, you will have no identity and no concept of that whatsoever, and no self-consciousness at all. Other people might dig you and want to hang out with you and love you, even though you're not perfect. And it's kind of a miracle, really. In life, in its imperfection, there's something that just goes with the flow. Words are, at best, tricky and misleading. I try, but I know you're finding your way. How do I know this? Because it's your nature. You almost can't not find your way. It takes a lot of effort to resist finding it. And that's what's called suffering. Suffering is simply resisting finding it. It's kind of the cosmic joke, but it really is true. Anyway, it's really nice to be back here with you. I feel a lot of love in my heart. I had a teacher once that said something that was such a lovely description. He said, when your nose is clean, you can smell the flower. You know? And when you can smell the flower, when you can take in this nourishment of presence and really be this energy, be this vibrant field, then just dive in and let every cell be nourished. Even if you only experience it here, okay, or when you're with your friend or guide who helps you awaken to it and access it. Good. How lucky you are to have that. How lucky I was to have it. As much as I needed it, which was a lot. So enjoy and recognize when you are being nourished and you are in the oasis. So that's when you really, really, really can rest profoundly. And transformation and alchemy really is the way. And you don't have to worry about it or think about it anymore or accomplish it anymore or understand it anymore. You know it's happening. Not in your head. No, that's not at all. Oh, no. That's not a part of it. If anything, the mind, the thinking mind, is just like, it's in awe. It's like, wow. It's blown away. Truly. It's relieved. Ah. Having to figure it out is the burden. It is the burden. So, slough it off. That map is getting pretty tattered, let's face it. Pretty ragged. So when, the other thing to tell, say, which you think you may know, is when you're in this nourishment and you're being nourished, you are simultaneously, at the same time, nourishing everything. You're not just receiving and being healed, you're actually giving and healing. You're not separate anymore. You're not just over there and there over and someone's, you know what I mean? That's not it anymore. You're actually open and available and in this flow. It's love, you know? I mean, that's one word. Not the only one, but it's a good one. It's surprising. It's love that has no boundary. It's love that has no projection or need or expectation. It's in love without another. It's totally groovy. I'm sorry, I have to throw in some of the 60s. You know, I this is completely not relevant, but but you know me well enough to know that that's. I think my friend Rob recommended a movie that he said, you have to see this movie. And I said, it's the best one about the Beatles. And I wrote it down on in my movies to see list. And finally, it was available, and I rented it for my flight home. And it was made by Ron Howard. It's a documentary about the Beatles called 8 Days a Week. God, it was great. I mean, I don't know if you were in the Beatles at all, but they were revolutionary. And the thing that was one of the most striking things that I heard in the documentary was, and didn't surprise me at all, actually, was this fellow, I don't remember his name, who was a news person who was given the assignment by his broadcasting station to travel with them. He didn't want to. He was kind of pissed off about it, actually, because he thought they were like bad influence, you know. But he did. And, you know, his mother died on the trip. And he said they were so consoling authentically to what he was going through with his feelings. He said, you know, they really connected with people with at a feeling level. And I thought, they did. They really communicated heart back then. And of course, because they were like brothers together and they became like brothers, like they did everything together, they became great composers and innovators, musically amazing what they did, incredible. And they took the world by storm. I mean, it was phenomenal. They tapped into something that I think was important to recognize, because in some ways, people had been so repressed. And here they were sort of letting it out, and everybody just, you know, 56,000 people in Shea Stadium screaming. Pretty far out. All over the world, you know, it's just mayhem. It was like people needed to let it out. You need to let it out and become alive. So it was just such an incredible symbol of that time for me, and the power of their, I don't know, influence, really, and discovery, and sharing that with all of us. So it's just very, very inspiring. I think they were really inspiring. And what we're doing here, fundamentally, is all about being inspired profoundly. And that is the nourishment of the Oasis. So, welcome. I'm so glad to be here with you. And I'm totally available if you have any questions or something you'd like to, you know, work with. Just raise your hand and I'll call on you. And hey, come on, Furkan. Keep in mind that we podcast these talks eventually, and so if you prefer your interaction not be on the recording, let us know and we'll edit it, okay?
Hey, John.
Hi.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think so. Comedy is really important too. Forgot to mention that.
Needed to come up today because visited my mom this past weekend, and It's completely true what they say. It's just when you start thinking you're enlightened, you gotta go visit the family.
Yes. It's easy to be on the mountaintop.
Oh, it's so easy.
Yeah, that's easy.
Totally back in the desert again, I feel like.
Beautiful. Yeah. Material, raw material to be transmuted. Okay. Is there any judgment or... Towards yourself, I mean.
Yeah, I mean, there was a couple of anger outbursts that were reined in pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. But still, you know, the mind, of course, had an opinion about one step forward, two step backwards, and you're not quite there yet, and all the old conditioning still coming up, and all that stuff.
You can throw that guidebook out now.
Yeah, yeah.
That one's not helpful anymore.
Yeah.
We'll give you a new one.
Yeah.
With a whole new set of perspectives about that. See, even as I'm saying that, can you feel how you're getting more open? Hmm. Yeah, that one isn't helpful. Because it's not true. There's no step backwards. That's not possible. That's the mind, that's the ego, but it's not reality. The rose does not go back in the bud. As far as I know, I mean, I haven't seen any do that. I mean, I could learn, I mean, you know, maybe some go back in, but I don't. And they go back into the ground. Yeah. You know, it's a very
it wasn't that
it's
bad.
It's a very
no.
repressed rose. Yeah, rose went right back in there. I just saw it.
It didn't quite wither away completely.
Yeah, no, you haven't gone backwards. Yeah. No, in fact, wake-up calls like this are great because they're humbling.
Very humbling.
And they're really helpful because you can ask yourself some questions now, like, what's still holding on? Oh, there's something still holding on here that got activated, that the buttons are still... You got to see where the buttons are. So you put attention there, even if it's the self-judgment, which could be a button.
Yeah, one of the big ones is trying to fix people.
That's a big one. That's a real... Yeah.
It's kind
get over it.
Yeah. I've been trying to fix
hopeless.
Her with her problems.
Hopeless.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure it helped, didn't it?
No. Not at all.
Okay. Well, yeah, you know, ultimately you find out that the only way to communicate with other people is with total love and acceptance. And to get off your trip, to get off your perspective. It's the only way. Otherwise, you're in the way. Yeah. So. And it's outside of the realm of right and wrong. Who's right? Who's wrong? My perspective, your perspective, you know, all that. Yeah. It's beyond that, yeah. Way beyond that.
Yeah, and I can definitely see that. I catch myself a lot faster, but there's still an itchiness a little bit sometimes. And
you know what? Some of these parts are very old and very well conditioned, and it's not ultimately not a problem whether they completely dissolve or don't, because ultimately they won't be a problem. They won't really be in the way, even if they come up. Because they'll move quickly and dissolve, and they won't have the power they used to have. And a lot of times, a lot of that stuff, poof, does go. Yeah. So, not to worry.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you for sharing that. That is great.
Just wanted to put it out there.
Oh, right on. Yeah. Right on. I think the greatest gift on this path is total honesty. Wonderful.
Thank you.
Good to see you. Yeah, oh, you're welcome. Too. You're very welcome.
Hey, John.
Hi.
Good to see you.
You too.
Very similar along those lines. Trigger was a different kind of relationship, but same. And it goes back also to the compass that I'm still holding strong onto of not so much, it doesn't feel like a future, like a distant future, you know, oasis, but more in the moment. Where I practically don't trust 95% of or 99% of what's going on in the head. But I still follow a few things for sure. And especially in the moment, you know, some reaction is triggered. And it doesn't feel good. But, you know, I can kind of, as Adya says, stand in my own shoes, and I try to do that right there. Of just, you know, not judging myself for being judgmental, for instance, Mm-hmm. But in a relationship, it impacts the other person.
Yes. And that's why, just to step back once here for a second, to not judge yourself for being judgmental, you can also add in there forgiving yourself and apologizing to yourself for being judgmental, and then to the other person for hurting them, even though you didn't intend to. Right?
Right.
Yeah. See that, just even saying that in the room, you feel the heart get more open in here. Everybody knows this is true deeply, outside of the ego. So nice when we're off our stuff. You know? It's beautiful. And relationships are such great training grounds. Fantastic. Hard. Frustrating. But miraculous too. So.
And again, throw away the compass. There is no compass, not even in the moment.
You're here. Welcome. You're here. You're really here. And even if you get off here, you know, the homing pigeon is well trained now. It knows exactly how to return. That's the trust of, you know, becoming established in presence, in awareness. So, and then when you're off, whatever, you know.
So not try to fix yourself or
no,
whatever.
It's normal to be a human being. In fact, it's preferable. A lot of the conditioning is, you know, in the map and all that, believes that you're supposed to be a different kind of human being, and it looks like this. Sometimes it does. But a lot of times it doesn't. But if you're tuned in, and you are, then we're not separate, and you know that. Not because I told you, or because you believe it, because it's right here. But I could be joking around and not sitting particularly straight, or, you know, wearing a robe and having a shaved head or whatever. But that won't get in the way of you knowing it. Nice. See, that's what I meant, that beautiful realm. So.
And when it's not there in the moment, it's just...
When you're what?
When you're not feeling that connection in the moment.
Yeah, okay. Then it's whatever that is.
And just fully kind of drop into that.
Ride it.
Don't resist it.
Scream, whatever. React. I mean, that's what I meant. Sometimes you have to scream and scream out and cry and wail and fight and struggle and blah, blah, blah. And then you give up. Then eventually, boom, back. Sometimes you have to clear the crap out.
So this is the part about not trying to be any spiritual identity.
Yeah, because if you have beliefs about never being angry or always being loving, I always have to have my heart open. That's scary. And you know, right? No, you get to be, you know, authentic. It's when you get caught in the reactivity and turn it into a story and identity, then you get caught in the loop of being somebody, sort of stuck for a while. But once you get the hang of this, you don't get stuck there anymore. Not for very long. usually. And less and less and less, actually. And the stickiness is less yucky. You'll learn on the way. You'll learn a lot about how to be kind to yourself, how to forgive yourself, how to trust something much deeper than your apparent knowing. And it only expands us further as beings and increases our capacity for love more. So that's what I meant. It's preferable to be human. Then the spirit really integrates everything. The light illuminates the dark, and the dark is transmuted into the light. So our humanity actually is required to realize our divinity over and over. It's not personal. Okay. Yeah, really nice to see you.
Good to see you.
Thanks for coming up. Hey.
Hi.
Hi. I barely recognize you. It's like Phil, I didn't recognize him at all.
I didn't either because I never met him before.
I met him at the end.
I know.
At the end, it was like,
I said, he changed.
I said, I don't, he says, I don't recognize me.
I don't either.
It was pretty phenomenal.
I understand what you're saying, really.
We should do before and after pictures.
We should.
People are like.
I don't think we got a group shot.
No, I forgot to do that. We should have done it.
Oh, next well. Time.
You know.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. It hasn't been completely easy coming home, but it's been.
It's not supposed to necessarily be easy coming home. You know?
Yeah, reentry is. I had the same thing you had. It was insane. You know, so much noise and so many cars and too much light. No quiet time. But so far, it's just been amazing. I'm taking so much better care of myself. Eating better and meditating. I'm so excited about that.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, and moving really slow, moving for myself and not everything and everyone else.
Hallelujah.
That's unbelievable.
That's a miracle for
it's
you.
It's changing my life, really. It's, you know, I don't want to be dramatic or anything.
Why
but
not?
It's a life changer. Totally.
No, you are dramatic. You should be.
Okay,
that's
thanks.
You. That's totally you. I love that about you. I wouldn't want you any other way. I'd be really depressed if you got spiritual on me.
Oh my gosh. I went through so much and just went so deeply. Hmm. And
I can see it. Nice.
That's it, really.
Yeah. Oh.
John.
Yeah, I know. Nothing but gratitude.
Everyone come to Molokai next year, please.
Or Santa Sabina in 3 weeks. It's sooner. You need it now, trust me. But don't let me tell you what to do. Bergen, did you raise your hand? Come on up. I think this is important. Hang on. Some kind of a yarmulke or something. I don't know. It's an Italian yarmulke.
So this last couple weeks, mm-hmm. I've been going through these spells of just feeling drained, like sleeping, 14 hours a day.
Wow.
And it's just emotionally draining. So I just have just enough energy just to go grocery shopping and go to work, and okay. I'm just finding that I'm really tired all the time.
Okay. Wow. Wasn't there a period? Do I remember this right? There was a period where you weren't sleeping much.
Yeah, that's right.
A few years ago, when you had all this energy going through, and you weren't. I know. I went through a period of a couple of years where I was basically dead. I had no energy. I thought I was dying. I had all these tests done. You forget this. I forget a lot of this stuff because it's so long ago. I remember my mother saying to me, "Are you going to go through life like, just like this? Is this how you're going to go?" Nothing like your mom to say. Is this the attitude you're going to have, that you're basically a dead person? So, yeah, this. Okay, well, it's not easy. I know it's hard when you're going through it. So how about we just sit together a little, okay? I feel more what's happening here. You got your feet on the ground. That's important. And I don't know if you're working with this at all, but I'd recommend that you experiment with really letting... Oh, okay. Wow. Drop your attention down in your hara, down in your... below your navel. Breath, that's good. Yeah, wow. Ooh, causing me to sweat. Yeah. Transformation can really have profound somatic symptoms at times, for periods of time, quite frankly. So...
I think I just feel like I'm struggling just to make it through.
I believe it.
Through each day, you know?
Yeah. What about emotion? What's going on with emotion? Anything?
Yeah, it just feels like that some really deep residues of grief and fear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I'm sensing.
Yeah.
Is it coming out, or is it just sort of perceived?
It's just bubbling out.
Okay.
It's just, good. It's always just tingling throughout the whole day.
You crying, that kind of thing, releasing that way, or?
Not very often.
Okay, not often. Emoting in that way.
But it's definitely a felt. It's very.
Okay.
Yeah, this twitching, even just throughout work, it's just always.
Twitching?
It's just like gyrating.
Yeah, yeah.
Up here.
Mm. I know, it's causing me to sweat. Okay. Good. Are you coming to Santa Sabina? You should.
I wasn't planning on
it. You should. Try to do it if you can. I think we have room. No, I mean it. You need it. Because your field is, your your field's fragile right now. I mean, it's good. It's really, really open. But I think it will, that group energy will help really strengthen and ground you in a way that I think you need deeply right now. And you can sleep as much as you want there. That's fine. If you need to crash out, that's fine. We can talk about it, but don't worry about that. You won't have to cook. You won't have to shop. Seriously, if you can manage it, please.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it's important. Okay, let's sit. Let's sit together now. Let's see if we can help you here a little bit. Let's do this with eyes open. Can you do that? Okay. I'm working with you a little bit internally, just in your heart and throat chakras. And it just feels like those need attention. So I'm just want to let you know. I feel that emotional energy you're talking about. Does it ever have content, memory, historical stuff?
Yeah, just a lot of childhood images.
Yeah. Are you expressing any of it out loud?
Sometimes, like, I break things. I go to the woods and, you know, just use sticks and.
Okay. So you are finding places where you can express some of that and get it out?
Yeah, but it's mostly through sitting and letting it come out.
I think you need to do some expression. It doesn't have to be real volatile. Wow. Okay. I'm going to have to wash this shirt now. I just put it on too, you know. I'm teasing you a little bit. Okay, I don't mind sweating. I really don't. Wow. Okay. I think some of what's going on, and this you can't know how to change this, but it will, is there's a certain amount of containment. That's probably, it's like when you have too much presence, that people come here often, satsang, and they come in and it's strong energy and they just immediately fall asleep like they're on heroin, like they just shot heroin. That happens on retreat too. It's just like that, you know, it's too much energy. It's not integrated. So that's part of it. You just, all that energy isn't being integrated.
Do you suggest I sit more?
I don't know. Maybe, but how you're sitting, yes, very important to look at that and to work with that very specifically. Okay, that's good right there. Now you're grounding. Do you feel a difference? Can you tell? You may not be able to. Don't worry if you can't. Okay.
Yeah,
good. This is now what's happening is an alignment that wasn't here at all when you first sat down. You were kind of like amorphous all over the place, but not like, you know, like, there, it's better. This is what I meant would help you on retreat. This is like a retreat here, you know. This is like a mini retreat here. That's good. All you have to do is just give this attention. And you might want to sit with your eyes open. You usually sit with them closed.
Mm-hmm.
You might want to sit with them open. And just gaze. Don't hard focus. Unless it bothers you, then close your eyes. You can go back and forth. You don't have to do one or the other, but I'd recommend open eye. That's much better for you.
It feels more grounded. Actually.
You are.
Yeah.
This is what you need. You need to connect to the earth. Your energy is phenomenal, Bergen. There was, you know, probably didn't know how to handle what was happening, and some part of you just, you know, got over, you know, fried. Keep your eyes open. Good. Man, now you're connecting more. You feel that?
Yeah.
Beautiful. Okay. This is, we're on the right track. You're going to be okay. This is going to, this whole, you're going to be fine.
I think this is the most grounded I've felt all week, actually.
Good. Good. Yeah, well, this is what I sense, and that's, I'm glad to see this happening so quickly. I'm not surprised, because you really have been, you know, when I first met you, you were really exploding. And a lot of times people don't know what to do with that. You know, they don't know. I mean, I'm constantly working with all kinds of that sort of thing with people on the path. So. That's right. Keep coming back to the grounding. This, the opening is done. You don't have to worry about that. That's just not at all something you need to think about. Grounding is what you need. That's it. Beautiful. Because then it will really integrate and it will embody. And then your body should start normalizing more. Sleep and all that other stuff. Mm-hmm. Give it. I mean, it will take however, whatever it takes. I mean, I don't know. That I can't tell you.
Yeah.
We'll have to keep checking in.
I think I've given up on the timeline.
Thank God. I know. No, I know. I went through all this stuff. And that's why I can talk about it. Yeah, don't pull in. There you go. Don't pull in. Because when you pull in, you start sucking it in. You can't, you don't want to suck it in anymore. You can't. It's not yours to hold on to. It's ours. Glad I brought my fan. What's up? Yeah. Okay.
Thanks, John.
You're really welcome. The path becomes very demanding, you know, at times. Very. I know. And when it does, you just have to follow what it wants. That's all. Yeah, that's okay. It's okay. Very moving. That was very moving. Well, we fortunately have some time left just to sit again, okay? Just quietly. And so if you've managed to depart, see if you can reel yourself back here. Just a gentle invitation or reminder. To come back, to be here, okay? Good. I can feel you from here, Bergen. That's good. Right on. Good. So just tune in to whatever your present moment is revealing to you in your body, in your breath, in your mind, your heart. Gently give yourself attention right now. So you can be here quietly and peacefully, gently, tenderly. letting go. Just letting go. Nothing like the oasis. I didn't say this earlier, but just sitting here with you and really deeply, deeply sensing in the body in a way, I think that the center of the oasis is your heart, not your head. And so if that's a way to find it, I'd recommend going that route. As wonderful Sufi teacher that I got to be friendly with many years ago here in San Francisco. What was his name? He had these gatherings in Golden Gate Park, right? And we'd walk down to the ocean. Yeah, Joe Miller. Thank you. That's it. But Joe Miller, right, exactly. He had a great line, which some of you probably know this, but I love it. And it was, if you get more stinking from thinking than you can from drinking. But to feel is for real. That guy was great. He was alive and awake. Beautiful spirit. So, trust your experience and your human guidance system. And I look forward to seeing you soon. Take great care of yourself. And happy trails.